Well, happy Father's Day. I could have chosen to preach a message on how children should honor and obey you, fathers, taken from Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. I could have chosen to preach a message on how wives should submit and reverence you, Ephesians 5, 21 and 33. But instead, I've chosen to preach a message on how you fathers should love your wives and how you should love your children. Look at your very first point today. How should you love or show love towards your family, men? How should you? Well, if you notice the very first point, it says, by right thinking, by right feelings that result in right actions. Let me again read to you what you've already heard this morning from the book of Ephesians and from Colossians. Your responsibility, men, to love your wives and to love your children. Ephesians 5, 25 says it like this. Husbands, love your wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And what about children? Well, in Ephesians 6, 4, he says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, not provoking, that's love. Bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's love. Now, I'd like to preach a message this morning to you men about two primary ways that you and I provoke our children to wrath is one, by too much discipline, and the second way is by too little discipline. And I will say this for you. Most fathers fail in this aspect of provoking your children by not applying enough discipline. But that's another message. But then in Colossians, we read these words about husbands. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. It's kind of interesting, the contrast there, isn't it? Love, be not bitter. Then the same passage in Colossians 3:21, we read, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. All of this is love. God would have you, husbands, have you, fathers, love your family. Now, in Lou Perillo's book titled The Complete Husband, on page 85, he emphasizes the fact that love is fundamentally a verb. Now, do you remember what your English teacher taught you about what a verb typically expresses? It expresses what? Action! In Lou Perillo's proof text in his book that love should express action, he uses 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 through 8. Let me just read some of those action verbs. Charity, love suffereth long, meaning is patient, and is kind. Charity, love, it envieth not. It's not jealous. Charity, love, it doesn't vaunt itself up. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, meaning in the aspect of moral impurity. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. Husbands, fathers, you're to love your family as seen by your actions. I have titled today's message, as you can see, love is more than a feeling, man, it's a function. Now, I could have said it another way. Love is more than emotion, it's an exercise. Look at your very first purpose on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to demonstrate to my family I love them by my actions. I purpose to demonstrate to my family I love them by my actions. Though love is an action, the action we take is based on how we think and how we feel. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says it like this. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you have wrong thoughts, wrong feelings about a subject, most likely you're going to have wrong actions concerning that subject. For example, let me give you this illustration. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, Jesus is instructing his disciples how they should pray and how they shouldn't pray. And he says this, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now, why did the heathen pray the way that they did? Well, they prayed that way because they thought the way they thought. They thought, well, we'll be heard because we continually repeat ourselves. Husbands, fathers, you will demonstrate right, loving actions towards your family only if you have the right feelings, the right thoughts, biblical feelings and biblical thoughts. If you've received worldly teaching on the topic of loving your family, then most likely you're going to demonstrate a worldly love towards them. If your thoughts, if your feelings are fleshly, then your actions most likely will likewise be fleshly. If your thoughts and feelings are spiritual, then most likely your actions will be spiritual. Therefore, look at your purpose that I put on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to love my family guided by godly thoughts and godly feelings. And by the way, as you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, as you're turning with me to Ephesians chapter 4, let me say this to you. Even though you're a new man in Christ, you've put off that old man, you've put on the new man. That doesn't mean at times you won't respond towards your family with a fleshly lust, with a fleshly love. Let me show you something here. Let's begin our reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and I testify in the Lord," says Paul, "that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now he's writing to the church. And he's saying to the church, don't walk like the Gentiles, the unsaved walk. Now, if he's given this command, what's he assuming? That there's some in the church that are what? They're walking fleshly. In the church, they're walking fleshly. Now, why would that be? What would influence a godly man to walk in the flesh? Don't walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. They had wrong thinking. They had wrong feelings. And the reason why they had these wrong feelings and these wrong thinkings was because they were being influenced by society. They were being influenced by Satan. They were being influenced by their own selfish lust. But he goes on, he says this, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard him and you've been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, that old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Putting off the old man, putting on the new man, is not something we just do once. We have to do it daily. Because if we don't, we're going to be responding as an old man in the lust of our flesh. Now, Paul is encouraging them here in verse 23 that they be renewed in the spirit of their mind. Now, how does one renew their mind? I mean, because he's talking to Christians and he's saying to Christians, Christians, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, how do you do that? Well, there's really two ways. First, it necessitates the Spirit of God at work in you. How do I know this? Titus 3:5. And it'll also speak about the Word too, but listen to this. Not by works of righteousness, which you've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration, that's the Word, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You need to pray daily that God will renew your mind, that the Spirit will be at work in your mind. And as you pray for God to renew your mind, you also study the Word. Because as we just saw there, by the washing of regeneration, by the washing of the Word. But listen to this passage out of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. He says, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every false thought that you have, pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high thing, now watch this, that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You need to study the Word of God, because the world, society, Satan, your own selfish lust will seek to defile this mind. And you need to renew it. You need to renew it by casting down imaginations in everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and it says this, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Men, if you don't think right, if you don't feel right, you're not going to act right. You got to have biblical thinking on this matter about loving your wives and loving your children. You have to have biblical knowledge. The more our thoughts and feelings are the thoughts and feelings of Jesus, the more our actions are going to be the actions of Jesus. A spiritual man must be continually putting off the old and putting on the new. I want to illustrate it, if I can, by the illustrations given to us here in Ephesians chapter 4. He gives us five illustrations. I want you to see how a man can respond in the flesh to these illustrations, or he can respond in the spirit. For example, illustration number one concerning lying. Look what he says in verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we're members of one another. Now here's worldly thinking. Worldly thinking says, goes along this way. Because I don't want to hurt my family, I will show my love by not telling them the truth. Well, earlier in this passage in Ephesians 4, verse 15, we're told that we're to speak the truth in what? Love. But every one of us in this room have at one time or another deceived ourselves and thought, you know, I can't tell the truth because it will be too hurtful, so I won't share. Well, here's godly thinking. Look at it again. Because we are all members of one family, Jesus' family, I purpose to speak the truth in love. Now, that's right thinking. If you don't have right thinking, you're not going to have right actions. Let's take a look at illustration number two about holding grudges, all right, or not holding them. Verse 26 says this, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place or room to the devil. Worldly thinking. Oh, all right, because I'm angry at a family member, and I don't want to sin, I'm just not going to talk to him at all. I mean, who knows what might happen? So I'm just not going to talk to him at all. Well, all right, what's godly thinking? Because I don't want the devil to control me, I purpose to go and speak to the family member who's offended me before the end of the day. That's what he's instructing us to do. But how many of you ever gone to bed angry with your mate? Angry with your child? Wrong thinking, wrong feelings lead to wrong actions. Illustration number three. How about work to give? Ephesians 5:28. And it says this, and let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have the gift to him that needeth. Let me give you a couple of illustrations here. You know, because I don't want my wife to spend foolishly, I'm hiding a portion of my money. Or how about this with the child? You know, because I don't want my children to have to work as hard as I worked when I was a teenager and when I was in college, I'm encouraging them to wait until they've graduated from college to get a job. Here's spiritual thinking. Because God wants us to work that we might have goods to give, to share with others, I purpose to encourage my family or family members to work that they might have to give. Illustration number four, what about the use of speaking edifying words? Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Here's some worldly thinking for you. You know, I raise my voice and I call them names, because no one in the family will respond to me unless I do. Well, biblical thinking is here. You know, because I want to edify and minister grace to my family and not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, I purpose to use words, only words that edify, that build them up. And then finally, our last illustration about being kind and forgiving. He says in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Worldly thinking is like this. You know, I'm going to stop being angry and I'm going to be kind when the rest of the family is. Well, spiritual thinking is, you know what? I purpose to put away all anger towards my family. I'm going to put on kindness. I'm going to put on forgiving them, even as Christ has forgiven me. All right, so what in the world is the point I'm trying to make? Here's the point I'm trying to make. You will not act biblically towards your family unless you think and feel biblically towards them. All right, so how should you love, or how should you show your love towards your family? Well, first of all, by right thinking, right feelings that lead to right actions. That's number one. Number two, how should you show your love, men? By giving. By giving. In the Bible, what's a one-word synonym? The same as the word for love. Well, let me help you out. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Galatians 2:20, Paul says this, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, we're right here in Ephesians. Look at verse 1 and 2 of chapter 5. Ephesians 5. What's a one-word synonym for the aspect of love? He says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. One more time. Look at Ephesians 5. Closely, you know this verse, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, fathers, the biblical motive, the biblical method for loving your family is to give. Give yourself for them. You might want to keep a hand right here in Ephesians, but also come back with me or listen as I read to you from Matthew chapter 22. Here in Matthew chapter 22, we have the two great commandments given by the Lord to us. And what are these two great commandments? Well, in chapter 22, we read these words, beginning with verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees aside, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now, you read those things, and the world would have you to believe, well, you can only love your neighbor if you love yourself more. Thus, what the world emphasizes is self-love, self-acceptance, self-confidence, self-esteem, self-interest, self-satisfaction. And all of those lead you and I to be self-willed. Nowhere in the Bible, men, are you commanded to love yourselves. But you are commanded to deny yourselves. Matthew 16, verse 24 says it like this. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Let him deny himself. Biblical love, that love that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, it's not a self-satisfying love. It's a self-sacrificing love. A love that gives and gives and gives. So how should you show love towards your family? Well, by right biblical thinking, right biblical feelings, they're going to lead to right actions. But also by giving. But let me show you one more thing when we're pondering on this giving. And I'm going to show it to you out of Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. How should you love? Well, men, you should love your family expecting nothing in return. So much of our love that we give with one hand reaching out, expecting something back. But here we read in Luke chapter 6 these words, beginning with verse 32. "Oh, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." Okay, so they're loving to get something back, weren't they? "Now, if you do good to them which do good to you, well, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same." Third illustration. "If you lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much as..." Again, look, all sinners, they give. They give. You know sinners that give, but they give like this. With one hand looking for something in return. And boy, when they don't get that, here's what happens with their giving. It stops and waits. You're not giving to me, I'm not giving to you. That's not biblical love. You got to think right. You got to feel right if you're going to act right. Well, let's read on. He says it like this, verse 35. "Hey, but love ye your enemies." That was the first illustration. "Do good." That was the second illustration. "Lend." That was the third illustration. "Hoping for nothing again." Hoping for nothing again. "And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he's kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." That's how you're to love. You're to love, you're to give, expecting nothing in return. Look at your purpose on your sheet. You know what? I purpose to demonstrate a love towards my family that gives, expecting nothing in return. All right, let's move on to point two on your sheet. Why should you show love towards your family? Well, we're going back to our passage in Ephesians. And the very first reason why you should show love towards your family, what should motivate you is the aspect of purifying your family. Watch the that's here, what we're going to read here in verses 25 through 27. I want you to see, why does Jesus show his love? What's his motivation towards his church? So this will give you an idea, what should motivate you to love your wife? What should motivate you to love your children? He says now in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now here we go. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And second, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The motivation behind your love for your family should be, number one, that you through your love might sanctify, that you might cleanse your family. And the second one is that through your love you might present your family without spot, without wrinkle, holy, without blemish. Look at your purpose. You know what? I purpose to strive to show love to my family by purifying them. Look at the next purpose. When showing love to my family by giving them something, I purpose to ask myself if this gift will cause them to be more holy or less holy. I've been dealing with someone on the phone, showing love towards their boy who was just shot in the head and killed. But over the years, she said, I got to show him love. So she sends him money. He takes the money, buys drugs. And he is killed by one of his drug buddies, shot in the back of the head. You know, so many times we think, I'm showing them love. I can't let them go through that. It's too hard for them. I'm showing, and they're thinking worldly. They're thinking with a spirit, with an unspiritual mind. Love seeks to purify. All right, what are you giving? What are you holding back? Is it to purify your wife? Is it to purify your children? Easy enough. You say, hey, should I love them like this or shouldn't I? Well, will it act as a purifying thing or will it fan their impurity? You got to think and feel biblically if you're going to act biblically. But I've not been able to convince this person yet that that was an ungodly love. And you can't. Only God can. Only God can. Secondly, look at this. You should show love in order to protect your family. Look at Ephesians 28. We're right here again. Ephesians 5:28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This word nourish here in Ephesians 6:4, this word translated here in verse 29 is translated in chapter 6, verse 4 concerning children. You see the phrase, bring them up? It's the same thing as nourish. Bring them up, nourish them. Bring them up, nourish your wife. Nourish your children, bring them up. Just as the Lord nourishes his church, which means to bring to maturity, and cherishes it. And the word cherish means to protect it as a mother does her child. How do we know that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. So a husband must nourish. A husband must cherish them. And the reason given there is because we're one flesh. We're one flesh. Why would you harm your wife? Why would you harm your children? Man, we're all one flesh. Look at your two purposes. You know what? I purpose to show my family love by doing that which protects them. Now watch this. When showing love to my family by giving them something, I purpose to ask myself if this gift will nourish, if it will cherish them by protecting them. Purity, protection. Those are your two primary roles towards your family. Purity and protection. Men, if you hurt one of the members of your body, that you're affecting them all because we're all one body. Men, you get in their minds, well, you know, this situation is all right if I do this. Well, it affects the whole body. Affects them all. Whatever sin you get involved in affects them all. Years ago, I gave a groom a hammer. Some of you will remember this. But I gave him a hammer. And I said to him, I said, listen, anytime you're thinking about doing something hurtful towards your wife, put your hand out there, take that hammer, and give it one good shot. Because remember, she's part of the body. When you hurt her, you hurt the body. Now, I'm sad to tell you, he never took that advice. You know how I know that? Because he's seeking divorce. Look, your mindset has got, man, if I'm going to thinking about hurting her, well, take that hammer and smash your hand. One time. You're smart enough. Maybe some of you have to take the other one after this one busted, take it on the other. And if that doesn't work, then take your shoe off and take it on your foot. But before too many hammers, you're going to be wise. You know what? What am I doing? I'm hurting my family. Husbands, fathers, purpose to show love to your family by purifying them, by protecting them. Husbands, fathers, you'll know when to say yes to them. You'll know when to say no to them. If you will follow the biblical principles that I've explained to you this morning. Okay, honey, you want that? Well, let's see. Will this act as an aspect of purifying you, aspect of protecting you? Son, you want this? Okay. Will this act as a purifying aspect, as a protecting aspect? It's kind of interesting when God chastened Eli for his sons, and they were in their almost in their 30s. But there in 1 Samuel 3:12, here's what he says. He says, "For I've told him, I will judge his house forever." Why? Well, for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. The role that you have as a father is as much as you can to restrain your child from evil. Especially from those evils that you know they're participating in. You say, well, should I not do this? Should I do this? Well, is it going to restrain them from evil? And if the answer is yes, then protect them. Well, I don't know if they'll love me. That's not a biblical love if they don't love you. Because the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. And if your child loves you, they will in turn say, thank you for loving me, as they rub the backside. The problem is, we think we are loving our wives. We think We are loving our children, and we are with a worldly, ungodly, selfish type of love. Love's an action, but you got to think right, you got to feel right biblically to do right. Let the Word of God guide your thoughts, guide your feelings, that you will love your family spiritually. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for your words. Lord, we want to thank you that we can think biblically if we will study, meditate, muse, master your word in our lives. I just pray for every husband. I pray for every father represented here this morning that you would bountifully bless them with right thinking and right feelings, that they might have the right actions of love towards their family. We just want to thank you. We want to praise you, Lord, for the fathers that you have given to us. Lord, for the lessons, some good, some bad, that we've learned from them. Lord, we just do praise you. We do thank you for our dads. We thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be dads. Just equip us, I pray, to be better dads. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.